I will entertain a motion to come back from executive session.
Yes.
So moved.
And is there a second?
Second
from Mr. Cole?
Second.
Any discussion? We'll take the vote. Ms. Dever?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We are back. Mr. Moore, is there anything that we need to address from executive session?
Yes, the only thing discussed in executive session was land acquisition. There were no decisions nor any votes taken as in executive session.
Great, thank you. We will backtrack on our agenda to the 4 p.m. public hearing, and I'll turn the meeting over to Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the time and place for a public hearing that was advertised on a proposed policy for airport policies. At the beginning of the hearing, a brief presentation will be made by Jim Hicken. He will briefly explain the policy and the purposes to be accomplished by it. After he's completed that presentation, council will have an opportunity to ask him questions in order to clarify their understanding of the proposed policy. After that process has been completed, I will then open the floor to comments and questions from members of the public. If any member of the public wishes to be heard concerning this policy, you're required to make that statement from the speaker stand. Before making your statement, please give your name and home address. Okay, Mr. Hicken.
Back again. Just want to give you a brief update on where we are since the last time I was here and what the purpose of today is. April of 2008, I came before the council and said, I think it'd be a good idea if we wrote down what our policies are for the airport, so the public knows how we're managing the airport and the kinds of behavior that we expect from the public and they can expect from us. Things like leasing policies, development policies, rules and regulations, and on just general things, minimum standards for business activities out there. The council said, yeah, that's a good idea. And we went ahead and started drafting what we thought was our policies out there. We had some policies in place, things like our T-hanger policies, long-term parking that were written down. We had other policies that were just ways that we've done business out there forever. And we set about putting those all in one place. Now, from the beginning, we've said that the public involvement in this is very important, and we're going to build that into the system. And here we are today as part of that, and I think it's a great thing that we're allowing the public into this process, and I'm glad to see so many people here to voice their opinions. December of last year, we put out a draft set of policies to the public and asked for their help in telling us what's wrong with the policies, how can we make them better, what are things you can't do if these policies are adopted, that type of thing. It was on the county website along with a comment form. We discussed it at our airport meeting in January. I went to the Sussex County Pilots Association meeting in January, talked to them, asked for their support and their help. Went through about July collecting comments from everybody. And as I told you in September, we took each one of those comments very seriously. If somebody was asking for a certain item to be done, we looked at it from, is there a reason why we can't do that? Is there a federal law, policy, state law, fire code, et cetera, that prevents us from going along with this? And if there wasn't, we rewrote the policy. And if there was, then we explained that in a set of comments that we provided to the public. We put that back out, and we rewrote everything based on those comments, put those back out in September to the public, and let them know what things we had done with their comments, and said November 17th, we're going to have a public hearing. Please come to that and let us know what you think. Because we've gotten to the point where, the policies that are out there are the staff's best opinion of what our policies are, what they should be. And if there's any difference of opinion between users of the airport and, owners, operators, managers of the airport, those differences need to be resolved by the county council as a whole and not through the staff, without consulting the council. So that's where we are today. We had a public airport meeting like we do every quarter last month where we presented all of these changes and the new draft. It was very well attended, much like today. A lot of comments about a couple of different areas, which we said we would go back and take a look at the wording of some of these policies. We've proposed some alternate wording that was not presented in September that you got in your packet over the weekend, along with an explanation of it. The two major areas was first had to do with business activities at the airport needing county approval. The original wording was that any business operating at the airport needs to be approved by the county. Any aeronautical business has to meet the minimum standards that's established by the council. The change in wording of the alternate wording that we have based on the input we got at the airport meeting, we've made some exceptions to people that are not going to require county approval anymore under this wording. The first one being a mechanic who's invited to the airport by somebody who's based at the airport to work on their airplane. That person would be exempt. A freelance FAA certified flight instructor who's invited or is providing instruction in an aircraft that he doesn't own would be exempt. A flight instructor with his own airplane. We're kind of getting close to a flight school, and we kind of felt like we needed to still maintain control over that. Occasionally, we'll have an aircraft breakdown in a large corporate jet or something, and it'll require them to bring in a business from outside the airport to fix the airplane. We'll also exempt them in this case. And then also just a general exemption for businesses that you kind of pass through, charter operations, flight instructors that are bringing students through on a cross-country flight or something. So that alternate wording is in your book there on page 5 in volume 3. I don't have a problem with that wording, but you just need to know that you're making kind of a minimum standards decision if you do accept that wording. You're giving up any opportunity to have control over those types of businesses, which is fine if that's what you want to do. Things like insurance requirements, any kind of control over staffing or qualifications, things that you may do in other businesses, and then also the opportunity to charge a fee for those types of businesses, you'd be giving all that up. But as long as you apply that equally to everybody, the FAA wouldn't have a problem, and actually makes my life a little bit easier out there. But like I said, that is based on inputs that we got at the airport meeting. Any questions on that change?
How does that subletting? Where does that come in on this?
I'm
subletting,
sorry.
As far as businesses are concerned. I mean, other areas. I'll wait till you get to the rest of your presentation.
Okay. The second big area that people were concerned about was the ability to use our T-hangers to store items other than aeronautical items in space that's not required for their airplane. The original wording restricted the use of the T-hangers to just the storage of the aircraft and things that go along with the airplane. And we expected to be pretty liberal about interpreting that, but people want to be able to store motorcycles and boats and household goods, just basically anything that fits in that space. Now, we did provide alternate wording for that policy, which would allow space outside of that required to store the airplane to be used for storage of pretty much anything.
Pretty much anything?
Right. There would be no restrictions. Boat, you know, we took out the restriction on boats, motorcycles. Let me see.
Does the FAA have any opinion on that?
Well, I did talk to the FAA about this wording, and they told me it was not acceptable to them. Their opinion is aeronautical use areas of the airport should be used for aeronautical uses only. In fact, and a policy that we've been allowing here that I kind of like is parking your car in the T hangar when it's out when you're out flying. You know, technically, they don't like that either. So they really don't like, you know, storing your car in there, storing your boat, et cetera. But I'm providing this wording to you and letting you know that the public is very in favor of it. It's just the FAA is not.
When they're storing other things in there, and some of these other items could, I guess, have fuel in them and different hazardous type things. Is that part of the problem?
The problem with the FAA, like I said, you know, they expect aeronautical areas of the airport to be used for aeronautical purposes.
Is it because they funded so much towards this airport they want to make sure it's used for
aeronautical purposes?
Where their money's gone.
Right. Okay. And we have that restriction in some of our other leases for hangars.
Now, where in that in this draft is that?
Page 24.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, are we obligated under having received those funds?
If you were to adopt the alternate language, we would be fine probably until somebody made a complaint to the FAA. And in that case, you know, the FAA is not going to write in and yank our funding away from us. You know, they'll write us a letter and say, we don't think you're in compliance with your federal obligations. You have 60 days to comply. And in that time, you know, your funding is cut off until you prove that you've come into compliance with our policies. You know, we would go back and make the change to the policy, write the FAA a letter, so we've changed the policy. They'll say, fine, your money's back on.
I don't understand.
Why would we even want to adopt a policy that the FAA has said they're not going to accept?
Well, as I said, you know, that's the staff's opinion was that we should not allow non-aeronautical storage.
Okay.
The public's request has been that we do. And like I said, we're at the point now where the council's going to have to make a decision on whether that's our policy or not.
Okay. The stuff that's in red, the changes, they're not actually staff recommendations. They're just what has occurred. This is what came out of the public hearing process.
Correct.
Okay. Is there anywhere, Jim, that you have maybe got any of these that you can stand behind and you recommend? Could you give us a recommendation from our staff?
Well, with the first one on the businesses, I would recommend. I don't see any reason not to go along with what the public would like on that, because I don't think we violate any of our obligations with that. On the storage, non-aeronautical storage, I would recommend that we go along with what the FAA expects of us and do it.
That would be very helpful to me as we go through this.
Mm-hmm.
What are these changes the staff supports, and what are these changes the staff doesn't support? So maybe we ought to do that.
There's only two big changes. One was the business thing, and the staff supports that, and the other is the non-aeronautical storage, and the staff does not support that.
Did the FAA come through here and inspect these hangars and start complaining? To get us to started where we're at today, what triggered us here? Did FAA come through here and say these hangars are not suitable or don't like what's being done?
No, I don't think we had anything in writing.
No, as I said, we've this process has been basically writing down either policies that exist other places in writing, or, you know, things that, like storage, that right now that's in our T-hanger leases and our T-hanger policies that are written.
We basically didn't have it all in one document. We had it all over the place.
Right.
And that's part of the problem, Sam. We're bringing it all together now so that it makes it clear for our staff and then people that are renting from us to know what's going on. So now we can hand them something that's got everything in it.
Mr. Hicken, is it correct that basically the entire document that's in the black print is what your staff proposed.
That's what we released after in September, after we went through everybody's comments mm-hmm. and made the changes that we thought we could and should.
And then
in red is, as a result of the airport meeting, we said we would go back and look at some alternate language based on the public's desires. And that's what that is.
So basically the black print and then the red print on page 5, which concerns the businesses, mm-hmm. you're okay with.
Yes.
And the staff is. But the red language on page 24 concerning the tea hangers would not be recommended by the staff.
Right. But I want to make sure, like I said, the public's involvement is very important. And I think you need to know that there's this feeling out there.
Well, we want to know your reasons why you don't support it, and we'll ask them their reasons why they do support it. Mm-hmm. That'd be that simple. But I just needed to make it clear for me to we hire you because you're our expert.
Mm-hmm. My reason for supporting our original wording on the storage is, that is the FAA policy.
That's a good reason to support.
We're obligated. Okay. We get millions of dollars from them.
Listen to them.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Those are the two major changes. And
we'll hear from the public, and we may ask you to return.
Is anyone who would like to speak concerning this ordinance? If so, if you'd raise your hand, then come up to the podium, sir. And when you get to the podium, would you please state your full name and address?
Good afternoon. My name is Jeffrey Reed. I'm the president of the Sussex County Pilots Association. And first of all, I'll do a short introduction, and I'm going to ask Larry Kelly, who was appointed as our group, to be the lead on the Rules and Regulations Committee for the group. But again, we'd like to take this time and thank you for being part of the process that we've been in and being included in the process. The Pilots Association is about 75 pilots plus. We've got, it seems to be steadily growing. And our goal is, we're a very diverse group. We've got basically pharmacists, teachers, mechanics, engineers. It's a wide variety of different people that certainly fly and use the airport. Our goal as a group is to protect the airport and ensure it's an economic multiplier. We want the airport to be successful, we want the county to be successful, and we want the taxpayers of Sussex County to benefit from this economic asset that they have here. It's a pristine piece of property that a lot of people don't even know exists. A lot of times you ask somebody if they know where the Georgetown Airport is, and it's no, and their residence is Georgetown. So. And I think we kind of showed our support as a group with the wings and wheels. I think that went very well and promoted the asset that the county owns. So with that, I'd like to thank Larry Kelly for all the time. Larry and several others of the group put in numerous hours of trying to collect all the information, all the different comments, remove all the anxiety, try to get some sort of common ground as a group of 75 people, which is somewhat of an enormous task. And then after Larry, I think there's a couple other people that would like to speak, and then I'll probably come back up myself and have a few concluding words. Larry?
Good afternoon. Larry Kelly. I live in Mardella Springs, but I've moved up to Georgetown, built a hangar out at the airport, so I certainly have a lot of involvement here at the airport. Spent $500,000 building a hangar out there, so I do have a lot of commitment here. Been here, I guess, around 7 years. Plan on being here I'm 61 right now. Plan on retiring out of here in about 92 when I plan on quitting flying. I'd like to go back and give a little bit of history, though, about the formation of the Sussex County Pilots Group and why it was formed. We had heard that there was going to be new rules promulgated for the airport, not necessarily all bad, but we felt that as a group, we are the ones that use the rules and going to be most affected by the rules, and thought that it would be great for us to form together so that we could speak with one voice in assisting in the promulgation of these rules and also in assisting in helping develop the airport. This is one of the more, I'd say, underutilized airports. I have T-hangers at St. Mary's County Airport and also Cambridge right now. I've been involved in a lot of other airports over a 40-year history of flying. I've been involved in flying warbirds, which are old ex-military airplanes, plus civilians. I've owned charters. I've been a chairman of the Airport Commission in Cavalier County, Maryland, so I've got a little bit of history, you know, in this area. And so a bunch of us just sitting around a restaurant one day said, we ought to do this. And so next thing you know, everybody else decided it would be a good idea. And we all got together and we formed the Sussex County Pilots Association. Initially so that we could have an input into the rules process and then the rules promulgation process, and also to assist the county and helping to develop, you know, what we can do to help develop this airport, help to attract a lot more people. The more gas we sell, the better Garrick does, the more you get in your flowage fees. The more T-hangers are rent, the more the chance of building more T-hangers, the more viable an airport is. If you promulgate a set of rules that makes everyone think that they're in downtown Philadelphia and part of the DRBA, all we're going to do is just erase what is out there at the airport, and we'll have a barren place. It'll be nothing more where some transients will be passing through. So it was very important that we have some input into this process. We did not want it to become just a barren place and everyone moving to any place but Georgetown, which was what a lot of people had felt when this process was going to begin. We were promised a seat in this process. We were promised to have a voice in this process. We were asked to appoint someone from the group to represent the Pilots Association and speak for the Pilots Association in a process of developing the rules. Nothing happened for months and months, and then suddenly there was a set of rules appeared on a website, and we were notified that the rules had been written, and we were ready for public input, which was contrary to the process that we had all been told was going to be. We had an apology for that. I won't take that any further than that, but anyway, we were apologized for not having the voice that we said we were going to have. And at that point, I contacted Dave Baker, who was one of the finest gentlemen I've ever known, who gave us an extension of time to be able to form comments. You know, instead of having 75 or 80 responses all coming in from all corners, we felt it would be a whole lot more efficient if all the pilots using the airport, the pilots who own airplanes and base airplanes there, fly in and out of there, spoke as one voice. We got together, collated all of ours, discussed it amongst ourselves, and what did we all as a group feel would be best? And Dave gave us extensions, take as long as you need to do this right. And so we did that. We put together all of our comments, passed them on to Mr. Hicken, and he did an excellent job of collating all of our comments together and then all of his responses. And I'm sure that's a document that you've seen. And a great many of in the first round, I guess you'd call it, of our comments were accepted. And I thought it was great. You know, we got a great working relationship. We're developing a really good document we think everyone can really live with. But there were still two points that the group, and again, I'm speaking for the group. You know, I don't have a T-hanger. Had one in the past, but I don't have one now. I've had T-hangers in other airports. But I've been asked to speak for the group. So I'm speaking, from what the group is voiced, and there may be others that may like to speak, on this. But there was still the two sticking points. And let me clarify a little bit for you, those of you that may not be active pilots. The issue about having to have a mechanic get permission from the county and basically licensed by the county to be able to work at the airport, technically, yes, they're a contractor, and technically, they're coming on to a county-owned property to do work, and technically, yes, the original language was that they had a right to charge them a fee. But what we're talking about, people who own airplanes, that's something that they get into the air and they fly around with, and they want to know that it's going to work right. They want to trust their mechanic. It's not like having your tires changed. You go to the closest tire store. People develop relationships with their mechanics that are many times lifelong. And if they move to Sussex County and have an airplane here, they want to be able to have their if something goes wrong with that airplane, they want the man or woman that knows that airplane best to be able to come onto the airport and do a repair without having to get a license, because they're not going to do it if they do. So that was a goal. For instance, I operate a World War II B-25 Mitchell bomber. Do you know how many B-25 pilots there are on the East Coast? There's five. Do you know how many mechanics there are that work on B-25s regularly on the East Coast? East of the Mississippi, one. Okay? So if I have to change a carburetor, I've got to call and get prior approval for a man to come. He's not going to be going into competition with based mechanics here. He's not going to be going into competition with any other business that's on the airport. You know, he's coming in to do one little single repair, or somebody operates a unique airplane, or the jet operators comes in and breaks, you know, has a break. They've got to bring a mechanic in. So that was the issue, and after the October 5th meeting, you know, that language was changed, the language we all found, I think, very acceptable, and is more in line with what generally acceptable practice is anyway. The other issue is, and I have to say I was quite surprised, because I thought the language that had come back after the October 5th meeting was revised language regarding storage and tea hangers, and those of us that, you know, the Red Death said, okay, this is great, we can live with this. We're not planning on parking motorhomes and boats and laundromats and washing machines in tea hangers. What people like to be able to do is, in the wintertime, pull their motorcycle in and park in the back of the tea hanger, completely out of the way, dead space, not being used for anything. Yes, it has gasoline in it, maybe 1 or 2 gallons of gas. That airplane sitting there has probably got 100 gallons of gas in it. My twin Comanche, just a little small four-place twin-engine airplane, holds 90 gallons of gas. It's going to be sitting there with 90 gallons of gas in it. Perfectly normal to store an airplane in a hangar with fuel in it. Not necessarily in the military. I do a lot of work for the Navy, contract work, start another 2-week contract next Monday. Before they pull many of their airplanes in the hangars, they defuel them, but that's the military. We're not in the military. We're not in downtown Philadelphia. I don't think we're going to see a boat in a tea hanger. Tea hangers won't hold a boat. They might hold a motorcycle in a back corner. Might hold a toolbox, maybe a lawnmower in the wintertime that you don't want to have to store outside. The most I've ever seen stuffed in some of the tea hangers, it might be a disassembled antique airplane that's put back in the back corner over on the side. I want to be real clear, the people that are asking to be able to have some other items in their tea hanger in dead space that's not being used are not planning on filling it up with trash, junk, laundromats, barbecue grills, and all kinds of other things. But why not a barbecue grill? What's wrong with that? Nice summer day, have your family out, you take your friends and family for rides. It would be nice to be able to take your charcoal grill outside and set it outside a tea hanger and be able to barbecue some hot dogs and hamburgers. Right now, with the wording that's proposed, that would be a violation. That's a non-aeronautical use. I think we ought to be reasonable and understand this is southern Delaware. This is lower, slower Delaware. And we need to accept the fact we don't want to run everybody off from this airport. We want to stimulate people to come to this airport and help develop it. And that being said, there was another thing that we'd hope to talk to you, and I think Jeff is going to describe this, is most airports have an airport commission that is appointed by the council, whoever the airport owner is, county commissioners, whatever. I know over in Calvert County, when I was appointed the chairman of the airport commission, we were trying to build an airport. We had economic development. Was appointed. We had the appointments from the county commissioners. We had some people who were in aeronautical business that were appointed because they knew aeronautics. And we had a 9-member group that was appointed to help develop and build an airport in Calvert County. So I think one thing Jeff wants to talk to is about maybe the possibility of redoing this so we wind up with a group that can work as an advocate with the county, for the airport, continued development of the airport, and to be part of the ongoing development of rules, regulations, the minimum standards document, which is the next round that needs to be developed. Yes, a necessary document, but we want something that really develops and that really something that reflects the community. And it'd be great to be part of that whole process. So thank you. Appreciate your time. Dave, again, thank you for all your considerations in this process. It's been really great working with you.
Could we ask the question,
yes,
Mr. Cole?
Yeah, I was just going to say quickly, again, you said a lot. You got two areas that you're not comfortable with in what he put here.
Well, the only remaining issue that we still that I'm aware of at this point that the group has, and we haven't had a rules committee meeting, that Jeff had appointed me chairman of that meeting only because of my background. Mm-hmm. But we've not had a meeting since this last round of changes were made.
Right.
But voicing from the Pilots Association meeting that we had last Saturday, we thought that a revised language about storage of non-aeronautical items in a T-hanger, that language, We thought that was proposed language. We didn't know that the staff was actually going to be opposed to that language. We thought that was
You heard Jim's explanation.
Why, I heard his explanation, but I take exception to that. And this is not an Air Force base where everything has to be drawn out black and
white.
Let
me ask you this. You talked about these other airports you've been associated with. So if we called up and asked one of these other airports, what do they permit? And they're in rural airports similar to what Sussex County is.
Go right ahead. Or better yet, go visit some of the airports.
That's what I'm saying. So if we called some of these, they wouldn't mind, I guess, like you said, pulling the grill out and socializing at the hangars. I mean,
it's a common practice.
They permit that? Okay.
It's a common practice. But you go over to Cambridge, for instance, the hangar right next to me has a Cessna 172 in it, a snowmobile, a disassembled ultralight. Ultralight's a very, very light airplane, basically with a lawnmower engine on it. Mm-hmm. That's disassembled and sitting over in a corner. It has a barbecue grill. It's not even a propane, it's just a little charcoal grill.
Because therefore, I mean, Jim's saying that kind of storage, you're saying FAA doesn't support, but these other airports are getting away with it? I mean, it's...
I can also comment, in 40 years, I've never heard nor seen or been witness of, and been on airports for over 40 years, and I never heard of any enforcement or anything being said about items stored in airplane in hangars.
Well, maybe they. Yeah, okay, I'm just wondering. Maybe they have rules because there's a lot of times here.
But
well,
all the airports
have rules, but we don't do much on enforcement.
Yeah, all the airports have rules. I was in Cumberland last weekend. Their rules and regulations very similar to airport, you know, Cumberland, Maryland, very similar to this. Their rules document is, I think, 3 pages long. I think I sent you a copy of it. Something like 3 pages long. Very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We talk more about what's acceptable standards. You know, I don't think anybody in this group is going to accept another pilot that's going to start trying to pile their T-hanger full of all kinds of junk.
Could be worried about the worst case scenario. Not the responsible people. It's always like the irresponsible. So I can understand why we want to have something on paper. So if we do see something that's not acceptable, we can address it. But if we don't put something in there, it's going to be difficult to.
If you put language in there that is so black and white and so hard set. And that you're going to wind up with other people who want to come here to maybe base their airplane are going to look at this and hear of the history of how that's enforced and want nothing to do with it. And they're going to be going to look at Ocean City, Cambridge, or other airports. I speak that only from experience.
Okay.
The airports that you mentioned, like Cambridge and Cumberland, receive 95%
that's standard.
Of the money?
90% of most of your federal funding is 90% federal, 5% local, 5% from the owners of the airplane. That's a standard federal formula that's based across the country, and many privately owned airports as well. Lee Airport in Annapolis, for instance, accepts federal money. They did when they repaved their runway, and so for that use then, they get 90% of federal funding for repaving a runway, and they have to keep it running as a public airport for another 20 years. It's privately owned. Okay. There's a lot of privately owned airports that also refunding under the same formula.
Any other questions?
You have not convinced me yet why we should do something the FAA say we shouldn't do. I don't understand that. I mean, I believe the golden rule, and those who control the gold control the rules.
Well, it's certainly your prerogative. We as a group, though, certainly like to try to encourage development of the airport and ongoing use of the airport.
I think I've made that statement. Rule, too. If it's not broken, why fix it?
Well, that's been the argument of the group right from the beginning, is why did we have to go from what was, certainly you need a rules and regulations document, but why do we need one that's based after the DRBA rules? You know, why do we need something so stringent and such a document in lower Delaware?
I guarantee you, if you start down the road, start asking people about, it's like the old story about the policeman get behind the car. I guarantee if he wants to find something wrong with you, he can find it. And if you get outside and ask him to find something, I'll guarantee he will find it.
Well,
and this sounds like we could be reaching here, far reaching, and asking, do you approve of this? Do you approve of this? Right on down through government. And you know government as well as I do, government, the more to get involved, they're going to find something. If not, they're going to make something. They're going to do something. So I see this coming. I can see what you're saying here.
Can I make maybe another suggestion? Instead of all white or all black, absolutely no storage, or you can store anything. What about something else, something verbiage that would say reasonable?
Well, then you have to determine who determines what's reasonable.
It's you.
Well, no, I don't.
To the council.
I don't want that job.
Coming through the airport committee, going through an appeals process.
I don't want him to call up and say, is a lawnmower reasonable? I think we can hire people to deal with those kind of issues.
It's also very reasonable, though, to have some type of an appeal process, because you don't want to have one person who's crowned king and has all power whatsoever.
Oh, yeah, no, we don't have
that. You got to have an appeals process. And that's the when I say you, I mean whoever you who you decide is to appeal any kind of decision. Let them decide what's reasonable. And leave reasonable in the formula so that you have, if this appeal group says, yeah, this is unreasonable, somebody had their washing machine, their dryer, 3 years worth of laundry stored in their tea hanger, absolutely, everyone would agree that that's unreasonable.
Mm-hmm. But how about if something to the effect that each hanger would have to list the items that are they're storing there other than over and above the aeronautical stuff. And then if a list is submitted, I guess maybe our staff could look at it and say, this wouldn't be acceptable, this would be.
Well,
I mean, it would get some control over it. I share a little bit of Mike's concerns here that, you know, we got the FAA that's got certain regulations, and then for us to violate them knowingly, I'm trying to come in the middle somewhere. I hate to leave it, like I said, open-ended.
I think we're making too much of what the FAA enforcement is on this and the FAA statements about non-aeronautical storage in the hangar. It is a statement in a document that's about this thick. And like I say, in 40 years of aeronautical experience at multiple airports, I've never seen anything said about it.
It's a low priority, I'm sure.
And it comes down to the point is what is reasonable. If somebody tries to clutter up their T-hanger, somebody's going to get it cleaned out. But if somebody wants to store a motorcycle in there, that's very common and very usual and customary.
Mr. Baker would like to make a statement.
Yeah, I have a suggestion. If we consider something like storage of non-aviation items such as grills, motorcycles, et cetera, would be subject to approval by the county airport director with appeal to the county administrator.
Yeah, appeal process.
Yeah, something like that. That doesn't leave it open-ended.
I think it's very reasonable because we're applying some reasonableness to it, and not just a flat cut and dry, you can put an airplane in there and nothing else. For instance, another thing we had trouble with was no holes can be punched in a wall. So in other words, we were told technically, yes, absolutely, we cannot hang a clock in a T-hanger. We can't stick a thumbtack in a wall and hang a calendar in a T-hanger.
Even if you own it.
That was brought up at the October 5th meeting. We're told we could not do that. That's how cut and dry, white and black, everything is on these rules and regulations and the promulgation and enforcement as it's been to this day.
Well, can we?
That sounds unreasonable. We can't stick a thumbtack in a wooden wall to hang a calendar.
That's if you own your own hangar? You can't do that?
These are rented hangars from the county.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, when I rent an apartment, I have my tenants. They're not allowed to... you know, hang pictures in something I own. So I can kind of concur with why I don't want to just to leave it, you know, open-ended like that, because they can tear your walls up.
And that's why you have a security deposit.
Not a lot of spackling in my
That's just why you have a security deposit, and you take it out of the security deposit to repair it. Yeah.
Okay. We have other people that would like to speak. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Gentlemen, thank you for your time, too, because I know this is a little extraordinary process, and we do appreciate having this input.
You're welcome. Yes,
none
sir.
Of us fly.
Next man.
Keep that in mind. None of us fly.
That's correct. All right. Good afternoon. My name is Garrett Ternog, and I own Georgetown Air Services, that operates at the airport. And I thought I would help Larry answer Mike's question. There he is. The FAA is a diverse organization. You can go to one department in the FAA and get one answer, and a different department and get a different answer. It's got a lot of silos. So I completely believe Jim has spoken to the FAA and got an answer that says, this is inconsistent with how we want best practices to be. But I do think you could probably find a different organization, different part of the organization that would answer the opposite way. All the pilots in here that probably know exactly what I'm talking about, you get different answers from different parts of the FAA. So I just thought I'd put that out there, that I don't think there's any one, it's my belief that there's no one set of rules that the FAA would say these are the absolute rules. It just seems like any office you go to, you can get a different answer. So put that out there for what it's worth. The second thing I would add was my language that I proposed to Jim on this issue. This is one of my hot buttons too on his on the proposed rules, was to use language such as primary use of a hangar and secondary use of a hangar. And the primary use of a hangar should always be for an airworthy airplane. Secondarily, if you want to store some, and the shape of a T-hanger, in case you folks don't know, it's a very irregular shape. it's not a box. It's got a lot of cuts and corners to it. So it, once you put a plane in there, you've utilized about half the space. So it really does lend itself to storage of things that, you know, like the people have suggested about motorcycles or snowmobiles. I've never seen that one, but I guess a snowmobile could be stored in there. But a primary use of a hangar should always be for an airworthy airplane, in my belief. Secondary, if you want to put other, have secondary uses of the hangar. So that my language that I proposed to Jim was for primary use and secondary use. It didn't exactly get adopted that way, but that might bridge the gap that I'm hearing. That
well, Dave, I think, just made a suggestion on some wording, and that could be under the heading of, like, secondary uses, which is, I think, is what we were all talking about.
As the business owner that sells fuel, I want airplanes in the hangars that are going to be airworthy and using and purchasing fuel from me. So I have a little bit of self-interest in that. I'll admit that. But I think it's consistent with the FAA would say.
We get a percentage, right, of your gas.
You get 8 cents a gallon.
Right. We have an interest in it, too.
So you have a vested interest in seeing that airport expand. Do you believe that the strict interpretation of this particular section of the code could impede our expansion, could cause some people maybe to not come there?
Yes, I do. I believe that people, when they come to an airport, they want to know how they'll be able to use their premises, that they're paying a lot of money per month. We rent from the county. We're tenants. And so, you know, we want to know how we can use our space.
The strictness of this particular section of the code?
It's an imposing document.
Okay.
It's definitely, you know, how many...
In total or just this one area that we're talking about?
Well, just the one. Well, the rules and regulations document, I think, is...
We need...
I don't know how many pages it is, but I know it's pretty thick.
Right.
I mean, you guys have a copy. How many pages? It's probably 25, 30 pages, right?
Yeah. So you believe even the rest of the code is a bit excessive?
When you say rest of the code, I'm...
The rest of the regulations.
Oh, beyond the storage part of it?
Yes.
Well, I'm just saying I think it's a pretty lengthy document.
Well,
it covers a lot of territory.
In the world we live in, where you know everybody likes to litigate and things like this, we have to, I think, Vance. I mean, it's nice being, you know, sounding like we're still Green Acres here in Sussex County, but you know we've come a long way, baby.
What's wrong with
that,
George? Huh? What's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with that, but I just think that we do need to take some measures to. Make sure that we
My feeling was the pilot community is
a lot of liability.
We're pretty much self-policing, I would say.
Well, we can now, but in today's world, you can't let.
Well, I mean,
be self-policing.
Even, yeah, I guess I understand your point.
Sam be self-policing.
But just so you know that mm-hmm. you know, we operated without rules and a formal set of rules and regs for a long time, without probably any incidents that anyone can remember in this room.
Knock on wood.
Thank you. And I would add, so I'm kind of done with that. You've heard my opinions now, but I would like to add one or two more comments.
Please, go ahead.
To what Larry put out, which was a formation or maybe a resurrection of a committee that was known as what, Dave? The Sussex County Airport Commission? This was an organization or a committee that existed for probably many years before I got to this airport, about 5 years ago. And I don't know who the members were and how the appointments were made, but it's a committee that reports to the council and is charged with overseeing the implementation and these sorts of policies and procedures, as well as more strategic issues with the airport. You know, what kind of crosswind runway should we have? Do we need extra taxiways? Do we need more runway lighting? What kind of businesses should operate at the airport? So it was a committee of business owners, of pilots, and probably some appointees as well. And I think it's about time that the council looked to resurrecting that committee. And because another point Larry made, I think we have a very underutilized asset, or I should say you, the council, and we, the taxpayers, have an underutilized asset that I think if someone were taking a little more proactive stance out there and looking at the businesses that might be attracted to the airport, marketing the airport to business owners, to out-of-state business owners, I think there's a lot of development potential at the airport, and it's getting bogged down for a year now in writing a rules and regulations document. You know, that's time that could have been spent nurturing and developing and seeding the land for some development a few years down the road. I know the economy's tough. I don't expect business to flock to the airport, but you have to lay the groundwork for 3 to 5 years down the road. So the next thing Jim's going to embark on is minimum standards. Yeah, we need minimum standards. Next after that is going to be development guidelines. Yes, we need development guidelines, too, to determine lease rates and terms. But what we don't have, what I haven't heard yet from Jim's body of documents, is something that is reaching out to the business community.
We have economic development, and Jim's an engineer, and I think that we need our, supposedly our economic development people are focused on this. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, Julie and I meet from time to time. Yeah,
I agree.
I am in touch with Julie, and I think she's in agreement that it's such a unique asset. An airport is a very unique asset, and the businesses that would be attracted to that asset might, it needs to be more due diligence to find out what those businesses and industries might be. They're not just your typical.
I don't know if that's Jim's expertise.
Well, I think this commission that Larry's referring to, I think could be the kind of people that would give Julie some guidance and say, here's what you need to go after. So that I would suggest that the council take that under advisement and see if it's something that they think is worth doing. I think others in here might get on board with that too.
Hey, don't we have a committee?
Yes, we do. And I think Mr. Hicken can probably answer this better than I, but at one time we had a more, I guess, diverse group as sort of members of the committee, and that is something that we could look at. It was sort of an informal committee. It wasn't like, each council appointed somebody mm-hmm. to the committee. But, Jim, of course, would be part of it. We could have Julie, Garrett and Larry Kelly, and either Hal or myself.
I think like it's most important that we include the folks using the airport as part of that committee.
Right.
We'll
definitely
certainly take that suggestion seriously.
And just remember, as Mr. Cole pointed out, the more successful my business is, the more rent I pay to the county. I'm basically, at the end of the day, I'm on a percentage basis.
We're partners.
We are.
Yeah,
and, I think Jim's told me before, I'm the largest rent payer on the airport. I think hopefully Pat's pays more than I do. If not, there's a problem. But somehow, in shape or form, I pay an awful lot of rent every year. But I'd be happy to be paying more rent to you guys. That would mean I'm doing better. So.
Okay.
Thank
right.
you.
Well, personally, I'd like to see you stay in business and not do it through law enforcement and restrictions and all these other things, mm-hmm. totally unnecessary, without has to be, unless, those kind of things, and be lean, practical about a lot of things, and understanding, and some of these things have been said, it's ridiculous we're arguing about motorcycles and all these other things and T-hangers. After all, you're gonna pay so much a month for this T-hanger, if you wanna park everything else in there and put your airplane somewhere else, actually, you paid us for it, and I have trouble with that understanding. If you rent a building from me, I hate like heck to think, unless you're tearing it down or going to burn it down, somebody may have some comments, but if you're going to, somewhere along the line, I think you should have some options to do what you want to do.
I think a year from now, we'll be debating the minimum standards, and we're going to end up with a three-ring binder this thick of documents.
Right.
But it's not going to have done anything to further the economic development of the airport.
It certainly does encourage other people to want to get involved if they can find or lease or resist it somewhere else.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Does anyone else like to speak?
Could I maybe clear up a few things?
Yes.
Prevent three or four people from saying the same thing. We've looked at dozens of other airports and their rules and regulations, and they do go from airports that have no rules, no documented rules and regulations, like Salisbury, to airports that have 40 pages of rules and regulations. And this is just a small stack of them here. I would say the majority of these, their rules and regulations on T-hangers prohibit non-aeronautical storage. So that really is kind of the normal rule that you see out there. There are a lot of airports that do allow it. But like I said, it's not unusual. The FAA, true, if you talk to different people, you may get different stories. The person that I talked to was the Eastern Region Compliance Officer. That's the person that if somebody files a complaint, he's the one that's going to make the decision whether we're complying with the FAA policies or not. He's the one that told me that that alternate wording is unacceptable. Just recently, the FAA published a new compliance handbook, which is really written for the FAA inspectors when they go out to see if we're complying with their policies. That's now up to 700 pages. I printed 350 of them up to the appendixes, and you know, there's a lot of good information in there, including a picture of a hangar that has an airplane in it, and next to it is parked an RV. And I don't remember the exact wording of the caption, but it was something like, this is not acceptable. So I have no doubts that the FAA policy is that they don't like to see non-aeronautical uses of aeronautical property. You know, as far as things like grills and stuff, of course you got to worry about you know, the fire codes and things like that. I got kind of nervous when I heard charcoal grill, airplane in the same general area. I would prefer personally not to be the one that makes the ruling on whether, you know, this piece of personal stuff is okay, and this guy next door, his isn't. So I'd hope we wouldn't do that. The alternate wording that I forgot to tell you about had to do with the nails and things, hanging pictures. There is an exception in there in the other wording that says, you know, there's an exception for small nails and screws to hang pictures and that type of thing. Our newer T-hangers, it's an all-metal building. We really don't want people putting any holes in those structures, but we did make the exception for, you know, the wooden structures and the small nails. Now, we met at the airport meeting last month. We did explain, just like I explained to you earlier, we're at the point now where we're not proposing new wording to you. We're offering it to you to make a decision, and that's why, you know, we have not made that promise to anybody that this is what we're going to support. We're going to put it forward and let you decide after you hear all sides. We do have a waiting list for our T-hangers. We've been using basically these same policies for the last 2 years, and right now we have a waiting list of 17 people for 16 T-hangers.
So you've been using what policies for the
next? The policies that are in the book now,
you know,
including the non-aeronautical storage.
Okay.
So I don't think we've driven anybody away.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've either.
Have we received any or been issued any non-compliance citations from the FAA since you've been in charge?
No. They don't really come looking. You know, like I said, if somebody files a complaint.
Complaint-driven.
You could adopt these words, and you know, nothing may happen for years. You know, or next week somebody could file a complaint and for whatever reason say, I don't think they're complying with their federal obligations, and that would trigger an investigation on their part, and they would come down and say, no, you know, we don't think you are, and you need to come into compliance within 60 days, 45 days, whatever.
I thought you had a complaint or two.
We had a complaint having to do with our minimum standards.
And
actually they told us we were in compliance because we were applying that equally to everybody. As far as a commission, I'm all for that if we do that right. But I, you know, I know there's a lot of other things in here that people are waiting to talk about. I would hope we could put that on the agenda some other time to talk about how to move forward with that. But I am in favor of that. There is an appeal process already in the general provisions document. Any decision that the airport manager makes, or you know, whatever anybody makes, can be appealed. There's also a waiver process. If for some reason you think you should be able to do things different than what's in the documents, they can ask for a waiver. The council would have to approve it, and so on.
County council, you're talking about?
Yeah.
So it would be a major thing. I mean, we're not talking about little things here.
It would most likely be a major thing.
Major thing. Right. But is there is an appeal process built in.
There's an appeal process. There's a waiver process.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's all in volume two.
Okay.
Well,
thank you.
All right. We'll see what else
questions?
Good afternoon. My name is Everett Bennett. I am from Milford. I'm a pilot. Have a plane based at Gulf Echo Delta. The reason we're here today to discuss these new regulations that are being proposed, and I will say right up front, we have gained gargantuan steps from the original document compared to the changed one that we are seeing today. A lot of work has been put in by the association, as you've already talked about or heard, to get relief from the decrees that have been put out by the airport manager in this document. I will say it's been an ordeal. We have been chipping away with a chisel, so to speak, little by little through the last couple of years to get what would be a workable document for us. We don't feel that we're at that point at this point because there are some things that are still grossly out of place in the document. But for that reason, we don't think it should be adopted. Just to give you an example of how we as pilots that are based at the airport are being punished, if you will, if you look at section 2.2-4.
What page would that be on, sir?
It is on page 5, third line down. And I'm not going to take a lot of time to go through all these different things. I just wanted to make one specific point. The entities basing or otherwise maintaining an aircraft at the airport shall not permit said aircraft to be used for commercial activity unless we get a hall pass from the airport manager. Okay, I'm being punished because if I take my wife up and we go do a job for aerial photography, only because my plane is based at Georgetown, I've got to report to the airport manager. This is wrong. And this is consistent throughout the entire document. How it says one thing in one spot, completely different in the other. But I'm being punished just because I have my airplane based there. If it was at any other airport, I wouldn't have to worry about this. I'd go take the pictures and get the money and go home. That's just one point of some of the things that are not valid in this document as it is presented to you at this point. If you recall, Jeff was saying that our foundation association was formed shortly after the new airport manager was formed, and there was a correlation there because we were gathering numbers as a unit rather than individually working toward our concerns. So one of our concerns is why are we being targeted just because we have our planes based at the airport for abnormal rules, abnormal regulations, and things that are not present at other airports. As Jeff said, we are very concerned about the development of the airport. We would like to see it thrive. We would like to see it prosper. We would like to see it grow. However, with really stringent rules that are trying to be put in place, what's going to happen, a normal, prudent person will say, why deal with that? I can go over to the other airport or another airport, and I don't have to deal with it. On the waiting list, I checked before I came today, and I believe there are 19 pilots with airplanes waiting on that list. If these rules are installed, you think those 19 pilots are going to want to base their plane at Georgetown?
Yes, I do.
Not so much if there's some plans in the future for another airport to be building a large number of airport hangars that's in close proximity.
Is there?
I'm sorry?
Is there one?
Is it what?
Is there one going to do that? It's
already in the plans.
Okay.
Well, so if you have the option to go somewhere else and not have to live by these ridiculous rules, so be it. And that's killing the airport and making the airport non-prosperous.
Well, if every airport, sir, has a waiting list, if we're not uncommon, we have 19 waiting,
mm-hmm. right?
We're not going to have 19 openings, so there's always going to be enough competition out there, and people will have to go look elsewhere. So, I mean, it's somebody who wants to locate close to their home in Georgetown or something like that, it's always going to be attractive. But I don't see them flocking, all those 19 people just disappearing because of, like, when you put it out, that number, what is it, 2.24 or whatever, about the commercial thing. Is there a problem with, entities having an existing agreement with the county to conduct commercial activity? I mean, isn't it something you could have on file already that you will take pictures? And you're just, then you just go about your business.
Yeah, but that's one more step that we have to go through.
In life, you got to go through all kinds of steps.
I know. And as a pilot and an aircraft owner, I know all too well, because of all the regulations placed on me as a pilot,
right,
and all the restrictions and licensing and medicals and all that kind of thing, plus all of the maintenance requirements on the aircraft and inspections that have to be done, to just go take pictures, it doesn't make sense for me to have to report to Mr. Hicken and say, hey,
not every time. If in the red says entities have an existing agreement.
Existing agreement.
You do go in there one time, get the agreement, say, I'm going to be taking
I don't have any agreement for such.
Well, why don't you get one?
I don't have one. It's never been required before.
Well, I mean, if we require it, why would that be an excessive regulation that you'd have to do it one time?
One more regulation, one more thing.
All right, okay. All right, never mind.
So my point is, if you adopt this, I feel that you're chasing business away rather than inviting business to come. Here's a quick example, and all of you have been watching this TV and the healthcare and all that kind of stuff and the town meetings and all that. There are people that want to push this through. We already have the best healthcare system in the country or in the world, and they're trying to change it and throw out all the past regulations, and you've heard the town meetings. People don't want it. It's very similar with our same thing. Obviously, we don't have a stack that high that the regulations are required, but you recall, this is only the beginning of this master plan or master document that Mr. Hicken is presenting. Make it more simple. I realize that most of you are not involved with aviation. However, I'm sure that you all attend restaurants. You go to a restaurant. If you get good service, hospitality being offered to you, good food, and all that kind of thing, guess what? You might go back. You might even become a regular customer. You might tell other people about it. We as pilots are in the same situation when in our travels. One thing is, it's airports instead of restaurants. When we're going to Florida, we may plan a fuel stop in, for example, South Carolina. If the airport that we land at gives us good service, helping us and that kind of thing in our transition, on the way back, we're more than likely to stop at that same airport. The word's getting out that Georgetown is not like that airport. I've had reports from friends in distant states, and they're starting to hear some of the stuff that Sussex County is coming up with. As a matter of fact, I was talking to an individual this morning in North Carolina, and he knew about the situation up here in Gulf Echo Delta. My point is, if you accept these, you're going to be putting restriction or handcuffs on the airport. We're already involved with encumbering rules, with, like I just mentioned. But the thing is, we don't want to hear when we go to Mr. Hicken, rules are rules. Otherwise, you have to stuff it. And that's not what we're looking for. To make it simple and sum it up, Davy Crockett was a person that said, be sure you're right, and then go ahead. My suggestion is, after you read this document, be sure you're right before you adopt it.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hi. My name is Jeff Reed again, as it was when I came up here the first time.
Same name.
We typically don't allow the public to come a second time.
He didn't really say anything. He just came up and introduced,
right,
didn't he?
I just did an introduction, and as I stated at the beginning, I was going to do a conclusion statement for the group. I can ask the group as individual members to say something, but
is there anybody else that hadn't spoken, or is he going to be the final?
I'll wrap it up.
I think I'm the final, and that's why I did raise my hand and appreciate. If anybody else does want to speak, that I can sit down, not a problem at all. I kind of butchered my notes, so I apologize if I get a little bit offline. But the aviation community is a very small community. And as an aviation, part of the aviation community, we will hear things of different airports. Okay? I'll give you an example. During the Wings and Wheels, there was an individual that flew in who was flying from the North Pole to South Pole, who was going to do an article for the National Geographic. He ran into a major conflict. And if it weren't for the pilots group stepping forward and giving the man some accommodations, I don't know what he would have wrote in that National Geographic, but can you imagine if he wrote in there, do not go to Georgetown Airport?
What was the major conflict?
Major conflict was he was looking for a place to lay his head, wanted to stay on the airport, and Jim Hicken told him no. And I don't know much more than that. I know Larry talked to him specifically. I think Sam might have had some conversation with him. And
you mean there was sleep in his airplane or something?
A lot of people will sleep under the wing. If you go to Sun and Fun or different gatherings with the aviation community, a lot of people stay right there at the airport with their aircraft.
You mean like camp out underneath their
aircraft? Camp out or whatever.
Put a little small tent up.
But my issue here is, my point is.
I understand maybe that way. Okay, go ahead. I'm
sorry. My issue is, if Georgetown had been put in the National Geographic in a negative tone, that would have negatively impacted all the different businesses that are associated with that. Everett's correct. We get on the internet, we look, and we look at a lot of the different comments. Garrett will tell you, I can tell you, all the different people that fly, I'll tell you, they look at the different comments. And the hospitality that's given, it certainly weighs on your decision whether to stay there. Pilots need fuel, they need food, and they need to be treated with some hospitality. And if one of those missing links is not there, people won't come. It's just as easy to divert and go to Salisbury or Ocean City, okay?
Well, Salisbury's not going to let them sleep under the wing.
I don't know that that's correct. I don't know. Again, I don't know. And I don't know that you know, George.
I don't, but okay. I can't imagine. There's too many airports nowadays that you can just pull in.
It was sleep under the wing. It was during the festival.
Wings and Wheels.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter
and
when. I don't
know if Salisbury has the festival.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, I don't think
there was tents all out there that day, George.
Yeah.
Can I offer a comment?
All right.
I think Larry Kelly was one that.
I'm learning something new.
A lot of times you do not leave your aircraft for multiple reasons, and people want to do that. They want to exercise that right, and that's done in a lot of different places. But it's very easy for people to move. So if Georgetown was hit with a negative comment in National Geographic, that would have been devastating to Garrett's business and several other businesses out there. And we all fall under the FAA regulations and rules and guidelines that we have. So, and I kind of equate it to like a paint booth. You can paint a car, but if you go make a paint booth, now you've got all those rules and regulations, all the exhaust fans, CFM, and all those different things. So when you build it, you've really entered into a bigger problem. So you got to be careful what you ask for. Sometimes it's not what you wanted. But as I decided to come up here, as the president of the association, one thing that the group was very adamant about and asked me to speak about very strongly was to reestablish the Airport Advisory Committee. One of the things that we would like to see as a group, we would like to see each one of the council people to appoint somebody to represent them on the group. We certainly want the Economic Development Office to be somewhere on there, and also the Airport Director. So, and we think that that person that you appoint needs to have some aviation background. We want to have somebody that has some understanding how easy it is for people to go away from Georgetown, or what it takes to bring them in. Because I can tell you, when I fly down the south, I look at what the other airport comments are, and you know, I give you a couple different websites, www.airnav.com. Go to like CPC. That's in North Carolina. The comments that are there certainly have drawn me in there, and I have fueled my aircraft up many times. I carry 163 gallons many times back and forth to Florida. So one little negative comment will cause a lot of diversion and a lot of loss of sales and revenue. So we as a group are asking that the advisory committee be reestablished, and I think that is our final comments from the group. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate the time.
And I believe you'd indicated that you were the last speaker. At this point,
did you raise your hand, Mr. Kelly?
I just simply would like to clarify one thing about the polar pumpkin, if that's possible.
Well, normally, as we indicate, we do not have someone come back. Mr. Reed indicated when he made his statement that he was coming back up, unless the pleasure of the.
I'd like to clarify. So apparently, you would prefer that those statements be left made incorrectly.
Well, I would point out that normally this would not be a public hearing, that there was no ordinance being proposed, but Mr. Hicken and Mr. Baker did ask that this be scheduled for a public hearing, which is not ordinary.
Let me suggest that I can't imagine that the council is going to want to take a vote on this tonight. I suspect we're going to defer it. This is not an ordinance for a land use application, so we're still open to comments as individual council members. You can email me. Your point of clarity, I think, will be heard ultimately. There's been a lot of discussion about, you know, management attitude, and I don't think that's what we're here to address today. We're here to look at this policy, the specific details of it. There's a lot for us to consider. We appreciate your comments, and I think the committee, expansion of the committee, is something we heard loud and clear as well. With that said, we will close this informal public hearing. What is the pleasure of the council?
I'll make a motion that we defer any action at this time.
Second.
On the Sussex County Airport policy.
I have a motion and a second. We defer action on this. Any discussion? Not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries. Thank you all very much. I thank those folks who participated in this process. It's very important that we hear your voice. Does the council have anything else for tonight's agenda? Not, I'll accept the motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.